Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about webinars, specifically how to get people to come to your webinar and how to get them to stay until the end, and most importantly, how to get them to actually buy your product.
So one thing that I've noticed is that it seems like there are a ton of webinars these days. It used to be 4 or 5 years ago that that was basically the magic bullet. You could create a webinar, get people to sign up, get people to buy your product because there wasn't a lot of competition. But I feel like today everybody has a webinar. Well, I guess if that's your only business model to get sales, then that's what you do.
I want to say that I get emails for webinars every single day. And I've noticed some people actually give webinars multiple times every single week. And they seem to be live. I don't know how that's sustainable.
Yeah. So I think today what we should talk about is basically how to create a webinar that stands out from the crowd, because you're basically in a pretty competitive space these days just by doing a webinar.
I guess. But then you're constantly churning people. I guess that means you're probably paying for ads to constantly get people in that funnel.
Okay, let's start with that then. How do you get people to attend?
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that attendance has really gone down. Back in the day when I first started webinars, this was many, many years ago, the attendance rate was probably 50% of your attendees, and now it's probably like half of that. People are just getting desensitized to webinars overall. It has to be something super compelling, right? And when we were talking offline, we were talking about back in the day, you could just do a single presentation that was like an hour. You cover one topic. And that was it. And I know for a fact that I'm just looking at the people who sign up for my class. Sometimes it takes them like a year before they sign up. Maybe it's because it's an expensive product, but they want to make sure that they can trust you. And it takes longer than just one interaction for that to happen.
Yeah. And I think that's probably, your numbers are probably pretty common. I think there's a lot of people that have people attend multiple times before they actually sign up. I know for me, when I signed up for B School from Marie Forleo, I signed up through Amy Porterfield, because when you sign up through one of her affiliates, there's a lot of bonuses. But I think I went through two, because B School only launches once a year. I think I went through two cycles of B School with Amy promoting it before I decided to sign up. So I think for in general, people, especially if it's a high priced product, people need time to be convinced that you're the real deal and that they can trust you and that they're going to provide them with good information.
And I think you need more than just the webinar, right? Because you were probably watching Marie's videos.
Yep.
Right? And a whole bunch of other things that just kind of gradually wore you down over time.
She wore me down. I finally gave in. Yeah. But I think that's pretty common. I think that be prepared to give the webinar to the same group of people over and over again before they make a decision. Especially now, if you have a $19 product that you're doing a webinar on, no, that's an impulse buy, right? You can get people all the time, all day long. But if you're selling a product that's several hundred dollars or more, then it's going to be a process with people.
Yeah. So let's revisit that original question you gave. How do you get more people to actually want to sign up? It's really about the compelling offer. I know for me now, back in the day, I didn't give anything away. Mm-hmm. But today I give away a theme and then I have step-by-step instructions for everything, even before the live presentation actually takes place.
So I think that's...
So I'm actually delivering a lot of value even before it happens.
I think that's a critical component and something that's worked well for us and for you is that we give away extra content. So we have our current model right now is we do a 3-day webinar. So each day for 3 days in a row for about an hour and a half. But on top of that, so one of the days that we teach is email marketing, and we basically give an overview and give people some really, I think, concrete examples of how to create lead magnets and the types of emails they should be sending. But what we don't cover and really don't have time to cover in a webinar is the mechanics of getting everything set up on your website. So what we do is we give people bonuses that come with the webinar of here's exactly how you install a form. Here's how you create a landing page. And that's not taught on the webinar. Those are videos that we created previously and we give away to people. I think it's like 2 days after the webinar is over during the sales email funnel.
Now you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, these other webinars give away bonuses. But in my experience, and I obviously can't talk to all webinars, but the bonuses that you get are usually pretty crappy. Yeah. Like here's a checklist.
Yes, the checklist is the big one. Don't do.
I usually look at it and I chuck it.
You're like, checklist. I'm not wasting my printer ink on this. What are you talking about?
Or it's just a form where you can take notes on.
Yes. Okay. So a lot of people do, which I actually, okay. So, oh, we're going to jump all over the place in this one. I can already tell. But a lot of people do this worksheet checklist that they tell you to print out before the webinar. And then as they're talking, they want you to fill it in. So I totally know why they do this, because they want people to be live and be engaged instead of, like, how many times have you watched a webinar like on your laptop and you're still working on your desktop? I do this all the time.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
So the point of doing one of these worksheet checklists, I think, one, it does add a value, right? And it does try to force people to be engaged by having to fill in the blanks. It's like, you know, giving people notes in high school. It reminds me of high school. And for one webinar, I actually did it. But what got frustrating to me is that, to me, it's like, are you going to give me the answer, or is this something that I'm going to deduct on my own? Like, it wasn't super clear in the worksheet. To me, it's like, if you want people to fill in the blank, then you need to literally say that sentence out loud or have it on a slide. It shouldn't be something, they were too open-ended for like a webinar, because you're like, wait, pause, hold on. Like, I need to, you know. So I think if you're going to do that, it really needs to be a true fill in the blank.
Interesting. Okay. I've never in my life ever used in those forms. I like download it and I go, hey, it's blank. Yeah.
Well, I think they can work. And I think there's certain personalities that gravitate towards filling out a form. And I guarantee you there are people that would do that gladly, even on our webinars. Like, it's not, honestly, it's not something I would be opposed to like creating and trying. The problem is for us is I feel like we change the webinar on the fly as we go, based on what we perceive the audience level to be and things like that. So, I mean, if you're doing that, it really needs to be, you're really presenting the exact same information every time, because what happened when I did it was the information wasn't quite aligned with the form. And then someone like me, who's a real rule follower, got frustrated.
I mean, my general philosophy is that if I can get someone to take an action on anything, whether if I can get them to just actually put up a website or even try to do that, I usually know that they're going to be engaged.
Yeah. So, okay. So checklist, meh. Fill in the blank, I think a little bit better. That's a lot of work though too. You got to create that, and it needs to be professional looking. You can't make that in Word. So I think what we do with creating the bonus videos, and I think Ezra does this too. I think Ezra does bonus videos, if I remember correctly, on some of his webinars. To me, those are actually pretty valuable, because there's just no way that you can cover everything in a webinar. And not that we can cover everything in bonus videos, but it's like, hey, we care enough to want you to succeed that we're giving you this extra information.
I mean, the extra information is designed for you to accomplish one thing very succinctly, so that you come out with something that you can take back with you.
So another thing that we do for the webinars is we give away about I think it's 30 pages, basically a booklet that covers everything that we've gone over in the webinar. The one reason why I think this is important to do is if you take down your videos, and actually I've seen a lot of webinars lately that take down the videos after 24 hours. We leave ours up for a full 72, sometimes
three days.
Sometimes it's four, depending on when we end the webinar. But, you know, some people take, I just got an email earlier today, I think it was earlier today, maybe it was last night, about a webinar that literally keeps it up for 24 hours and that's it, which I think is really tough for people to be able to like do something in 24 hours. But it also forces people to do it, right? If you're interested, it forces you to do it in 24 hours. But when we give away that booklet, it basically gives people all the links to the stuff that we talk about. So even though they might not have been able to watch every video, it does give them a good amount of information. And, you know, that's full of our affiliate links. So even if they choose not to buy the course, we could earn some affiliate revenue from that. So we can make money.
Here's what I've noticed with my webinars. I would say, I think just under half of the conversions I get are from people who don't come in live and they just watch the replays.
Yeah.
Mainly because they can't attend live.
Right.
I mean, I like to have my webinars in the middle of the afternoon, Pacific time, and people are working sometimes during that time. So I am curious. I can understand, like, it encourages people to come live within 24 hours if they want it. Maybe that works better if you're charging for that webinar.
So that's the next thing I wanted to talk about, is that a lot of people are now charging for their webinar. And it's pretty nominal fee. It's like $29 or $47. It's not expensive. I think the theory behind this is that people see free as not valuable and paid as valuable. Plus, if you pay, you're going to attend. I would actually like to try this at some point.
Yeah.
But I also there's a part of me that's like, well, I'm charging you for this, but then at the end, I'm charging you for something else.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. We should try this at one point. Here's why I think people are going that way. There's just too many scammy webinars out there that people have just become desensitized. Like, okay, it's free.
Yeah.
That means you're just going to sell me the entire time and whatnot. And I understand that, which is probably why it takes some time to build your reputation up.
Yeah.
To only give out the facts and what you need to know.
So I also think, yeah, I'd like to try. So I think Shailene does this. I think she charges for her webinars. It's like $29. I think she calls it a boot camp. And I could be totally wrong on this, but I think that's what, she, not all the time, but she's done this. I know she's done this in the past because I'm on a couple of her lists. But I do think that there is something about when people pay, they are a little more invested in you. So does it possibly weed out people that were never going to buy to begin with? Probably. Right? Like, I think there is some benefit to charging. And at the end of the day, webinars do take time and work for to put together. And it's your time that you're taking out of your day to present them. And, you know, it's not just the webinar. I know for us and a lot of other people, we answer questions until the last question is done. So sometimes we've been on webinars for 2.5 hours. We also answer all the emails from people, any messages. In fact, I think you're still messaging with someone from a webinar like 2 times ago in our Facebook Messenger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely a time that you're investing. So to charge doesn't, I go back and forth. Part of me is like, charging. But then part of me is like, hey, this is actually like $29. Like, I pay $29 to talk to somebody that I thought was knowledgeable and respected.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think in order to pull it off, you have to already have some sort of reputation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just say, hey, I'm going to start doing webinars and then start charging. I don't think that would convert very well.
So I think you could if you were giving people like, hey, I have a book that you get for free. I think if you have enough product at the end that they're getting for free, even though it's not free, they've paid $29. I think you can do it if you don't have the reputation.
Yeah.
You might not get a great, you know, you're not going to get 1,000 people to sign up, but.
I can't really talk intelligently about this because I've actually never done a paid one before.
Which is why I think we should do it just to test. Yeah. And see what the results are and then see how many. And obviously, like, you can always do something like, hey, if you decide to buy the full course, you know, we take off the $29, even though it's only $29. That just, I think that sort of like removes a little bit of the risk too. Like, oh, well, I'll get my money back if I like it. I don't know.
Yeah. So one thing that we tried in the past was selling the videos after the fact.
Yes.
I've had mixed results with that.
Yeah. I don't think it did great for us, but I also feel like we didn't really push it a ton. So it's like, well, did it not do well because we didn't really market it? Because to me, it was more of like, hey, we can do this as a I'm gonna sound like such a jerk. Like, I feel like we were doing people a favor because we normally take it down because it does. We have to host them. We have to maintain it. So like, if you want to have access to this over time, you've got to pay something. So it does feel like to me, it was a little bit of like, hey, we're doing something for you. I don't feel bad about charging for that because it does cost us money to host those videos. But also, you know, it also feels like, well, we're doing you a favor by letting you listen to us whenever you want, on demand.
Yeah, I think getting them on the back end is worse than getting them on the front end.
Which is why I'd like to try the front end, because I feel like that would probably be more successful. And if you paid for it, then you would have the recordings.
Yeah, and we have friends that swear by the paid model now, right? So, all right, let me ask you this. What are some webinars that you've attended that sounded compelling to you, and why did you attend them?
So Ezra's webinars, I'm going to just, you know, you and I like Ezra. This is not a dig on him at all. If I didn't know who he was, I would have trouble on his webinars because I think he spends too much time in the beginning telling his backstory. I think one way to get people to stay and be engaged in your webinar is keep your backstory really short. And I think I want to, like, give me the information as soon as possible. But the reason why I think Ezra's webinars are so compelling is he literally just throws numbers at you for 45 minutes. Like, this is the funnel I did. This is that. This is this. And here's another $200,000. And I did this. And this is my open rate. And this is my click-through rate. And this is exactly how I got people to submit. Like, one of the most compelling webinars I saw him do was when he talked about how to get people to do user-generated, how to get your customers to submit user-generated content. And he basically walked step by step through the emails they sent people, like, hey, turn your camera like this, film this way. These are the points you need to talk about. And he basically broke down every single thing that they did as a company. And he showed numbers with it and like how many people responded and how many people submitted. And he showed examples of the videos. So to me, that was so compelling because, and I think he was selling one of the Zipify products at the end. I actually don't remember what he was selling, but which probably doesn't say much, but it was a couple years ago. And by the end of that, I felt like I could implement all of that just based on what he had done. And I was convinced that it would work based on his results because he gave me all the numbers.
Yeah, I don't consider that backstory at all, though.
No, that's not the backstory part. Like that's so. Oh, okay. So if I didn't know Ezra at all, like I probably wouldn't have made it through his 10-minute backstory to get to this.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So like that part's too long, in my opinion, with Ezra. Like I don't care about where you grew up and all this stuff. I just don't. But the fact that after that, but I know Ezra to know that like if I can make it through the first 10 minutes, I literally like do something else for the first 10 minutes of his webinars. I know after that 10 minutes, I'm going to get a ton of numbers, a ton of facts, a ton of examples that I can basically copy and implement myself.
You know, what's funny is I took a presentation class once and they said to do all of that.
Yes.
Because that you want people to relate to your backstory or whatnot. But I think there's a fine line there.
And I also wonder too, is there a way to, because this would be super compelling to me. And this is like the case study of one, right? This is just me personally. Literally start out, say, hey, my name is Steve Chu. I run Bumblebee Linens and my wife quit her job. Here's how I made $50,000 from a webinar. These are the exact steps that I did it. And you literally just like within 45 seconds, you're giving me numbers and proof. And then throughout that time, you weave in your story. So you weave in your personal details. You weave in your backstory as you're literally smacking me in the face with your facts and figures.
Right. Yes. I like that method better. That's harder to do.
It's very hard. I'm like, as I'm saying this, I'm like, that's kind of tough. But I feel like it's effective. And,
you know, what's funny is in the last webinar that we just did together,
Yes. We
weaved in a little bit more of our stories.
Yes.
Right. In fact, I added like 3 slides and I think you added another 3 slides.
Yeah.
Just on our story, just as a test. And it was the first webinar of the year, so it was hard to judge. But I think that webinar actually did better than some of our past.
That
ones.
Was our second highest performing webinar.
Oh, was
in,
it really?
In regards to sales. If we don't measure conversion or anything like that, just straight sales. It was our second best.
Okay. I'd be curious to see how it did versus the prior January.
Yeah.
But anyway, we did get one person
Yes. Complain.
That
was probably...
That said, hey, I don't want... Yeah.
That was me.
It was a person that emailed and said, hey, I don't want to hear your backstory.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just cut that stuff out.
Which is why I think if you can weave it in, people are getting it more subtly, right? So that's not this like, hey, let me give you my bio and give you 4 pages of my, you know, outstanding accomplishments in life. It's like, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I do. This is what I've accomplished this is what I'm going to show you what I accomplished by showing you my email stats, whatever it is, right? And then dive right in. But then in the process of teaching, weaving in the rest of your story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that we'll try next time.
Yeah. The other thing I think that, and I don't necessarily think that we do this as well as we could, is that when you're starting out too, I think you really need to define what people are going to accomplish by this, like really succinctly. I feel like we do say like, hey, this is what we're teaching. You know, today we're going to talk about SEO. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Pinterest. Thursday we're going to talk about email. Yes, we're telling people what they're going to get, but we're not telling people how they're going to transform. And that's the key. Like, people have to transform. They have to have that win. They have to have something that they can accomplish. And if you can get them to that transformation point or that piece of accomplishment, the chances of them buying from you go up exponentially, right? Because you've already given them a win and a success. And I think we do a good job of saying like, hey, this is what we're teaching, but we don't necessarily say, hey, this is how we're going to transform your life.
I think I do a better job of that in my other course, mainly because I've been doing it longer, I think.
Yeah.
But I now have a slide in there that tells you exactly what we're covering and what it hopes to accomplish, like in the very beginning before I start.
Yeah. So I think we can improve
that.
I'll have to go watch another one of your webinars. Oh, you have one tonight.
I have 3 different versions of things that I have 4 different versions now so that people, it doesn't get redundant.
Yeah.
Although people seem to not mind going to the same one over and over and over again, which is weird.
Well, I think because here's the thing, because we don't pre-record or have a recorded webinar, it's even though we're doing very similar information, it's not the same. Because every time it's a little bit different.
It is a little bit different. I actually choose a different product or something else has happened. We'll talk about current events also. Yeah. Right.
So,
all right.
What do you got?
I was just going to ask you, so how do you get people to show up? This is actually something that I've struggled with because I know if I get them on live, I can convert them better.
Yes, I agree with you. So I think there's a couple ways to get them to show up. The easiest method is, you know, make something available live that's not available anywhere else. For us, that's the Q&A, right? We answer every question that's presented to us, and you do this on your other webinars too. And so I think that's, to me, a pretty compelling, and people have emailed us about this and talked about it during the webinars. And that actually sells our course and sells your course, because we're never afraid to answer a question. We're not afraid to say, hey, we're not sure about that, but we'll let you know tomorrow. Like, we'll look it up, we'll ask around, we can ask somebody. So I think doing the live Q&A, and we've experimented with this in different ways. When we first started, I think we did Q&A at the very end. Now we basically do it at the end of each section. So it just depends on, you know, I think you can work. That's something that you need to decide for your own personal style. You and I are both capable of answering questions in the middle and not getting too sidetracked. Some people just aren't. They need to be able to do the presentation and then do the Q&A. So you got to figure out what works for you. But I think the Q&A part, to me, is the most valuable reason why you come on a webinar live if they offer that.
I've gone on webinars where they give out gift cards.
Yes, I've seen that.
Throughout the middle. I'm just wondering whether, I mean, maybe that works to get people to stay, but then I question their motives for staying, right?
Well, I wonder if that's your audience, right? Like, is the person that wants the $50 Amazon gift card going to buy your course? Like, I would never go on a webinar for a $50 gift card.
Well, this person gave away an iPad Pro, which is actually a compelling price.
I mean, I would definitely go on a webinar. Where do I sign up? Sign me up. What's the topic? I'll listen to anything. But I wonder how many people get on there and just have it playing in the background.
Well, you have to pay attention because they'll announce the winner sometime in the middle of the webinar. They don't know.
Yeah, but you can have it running in your ear, right? You can still be
paying bills,
making dinner. Like, you're not. I wonder how truly engaged people are if it's a prize.
I agree.
So,
which is why I've never.
Yeah.
Oh, I did give away Shopify once.
Yeah.
I don't know if it moved the needle though. So I never did it again.
So I think the Q&A is one. Another thing that I think you can do is giving away something that, so, hey, only the people that show up live are getting the notes. So we're going to drop a link to the notes every day in the live chat. So if you're not live, that chat goes away the next day. You're not going to get the notes. That's something you can do. And, you know, have it be good notes, not just a checklist. I mean, you can also try, like, you can try anything. You can try a checklist. You can try a PDF. That might be compelling enough. It's hard to say. Some things, like, to me, if I could get a checklist, I mean, I know you can Google this or whatever, but, like, I'm thinking, like, a checklist of image sizes for all the social media platforms and all the different sites, like, you know, everything on Facebook, everything on Instagram, everything on TikTok. Give me a checklist of all those, like, image sizes and stuff like that. I would go on live to get that if I didn't think I could find it somewhere else, right? So you can give a checklist or PDF if it's valuable information, but you got to make it valuable.
I mean, here's what I found. Getting their SMS number and texting them when the webinar starts has actually boosted attendance for me dramatically.
Yeah.
Because people don't check their emails like
right
at the moment that you're sending them, whereas a text they'll get right away.
Yeah.
So that's why we've been bribing people with the notes if they leave a text number.
Yes.
I mean, the other side effect of that too is like emails don't always get delivered, whereas texts usually do.
Yes.
And then you get less of the, I got lost that email.
Yeah.
I hate dealing with that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it solved both problems.
Yeah. I like the SMS. Well, I think one we had, so we actually, we did this. Oh my goodness, what was it? We were doing something and you're like, I didn't text anybody. And you sent out a text and all of a sudden like 50 people showed up within 5 minutes of you sending a text out. So I do think, do you remember this? This was like last year sometime. I don't remember exactly the details. But like it just showed like, hey, people are on their phones. Like I've gotten, like I work from my inbox, but I've gotten to the point where if I'm not like trying to get things, like check things off, and I'm working on something else. Like I put together the presentation for office hours today. So yesterday when I was working on that presentation, I didn't check my email for like 4 hours. I didn't look at it because I was busy like pulling images and getting stats and, you know, just doing a bunch of things that related to the presentation. I didn't look at my email, not one time. So if you needed to get a hold of me or needed something, like if you would have texted me, I would have seen it because I always have my phone with me because I have kids and I want to, you know, make sure that I'm available to them. And but I wouldn't necessarily see the email. So if I had signed up for a webinar and totally forgot about it, you know, I wouldn't have seen it.
Which always happens to me.
Yes.
Actually, I'll sign up for something. I have no idea. But then I'll get a text 10 minutes before. I was like, okay, I may as well just stop in.
Yeah. Another thing you can do is, and I don't know, I actually don't know how to do this, but you do this, I think with our webinars and yours, is that people can add it to their calendar. And like for me, if it's on my calendar, I do get a notification on my phone. It's not a text, yes, but I get a notification.
I wonder how many, I wish there was a way for me to tell how many people actually clicked on that link.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That's something I haven't looked at. I add it for myself because that's how I add it to my calendar.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah.
I click on my own link.
Well, at least you got one click. Well, I do too. So you, now you have two.
And then Jen does it also to add it to her calendar so she knows that I can't pick up or whatever during those times.
Yeah. So I think another thing that we probably should have talked about this way early on, but to get people to stay on your web. So say people click, we send out our text, we get people on. I think it is important to have decent audio and video. It doesn't have to be like a studio or something. You know, you don't have to have a film crew there, but make sure your lighting is good. Make sure people can hear you. Because even though we basically test our stuff 1,000 times, you know, and we use the same equipment for all of our broadcasts, so we're pretty confident and it never fails. People are like, I can't see you, I can't hear anything. Well, and it's always user error, right? But like, can you imagine getting on and having it be presenter error? I mean, I've had that. And sometimes it's inevitable, right? Like someone's stuff just craps out and doesn't work. But a lot of times it's like, just you get a decent camera, quit using your laptop. You know, they're not expensive. They're $150 on Amazon. So I think investing in a little bit of equipment, if webinars are going to be part of your marketing plan, is important because you want people. It's kind of like, well, why would I trust you if you're fuzzy and I can't hear you?
Here's one thing I've seen work that we're not doing and I'm not doing currently, is to issue like polls or just get feedback from the audience throughout the webinar.
Yeah.
I find that's actually, it kind of like breaks the, like sometimes I start dozing off, but then I'll get asked a question where I actually can submit an answer. I think that's a good way of keeping people involved also.
So we've done that some, like we'll ask people like who already has a website up, things like that. We don't do a true poll, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's the same thing. You just ask for feedback.
Yeah.
I always start every webinar by asking what people's level is at.
Yeah.
So I can just kind of adjust things dynamically. I think the most important thing actually to get people to stay till the end is to improve your presentation skills.
Yes.
I mean, that's just we've talked about this in the past. Your energy level has to be like double what it normally is.
Yes.
So that it comes across as normal when you're live.
Yep. It's really, well, so we did office hours a couple weeks ago with my friend Andrea, or your friend too, Andrea Robinson, who used to be a news anchor. And, you know, I'm sitting next to her, right, as we're doing this presentation, and her and I are having a conversation before we go live. And it's just like the standard conversation you'd have with any friend. The second that camera turned on, she went from like normal to like annoying, right? Because I'm still sitting next to her. I mean, you know, I love her and she's amazing, right? She's so good. And everyone who watched her was like, I love her. She's amazing, right? Like you love everything about her. But like when you're sitting right next to her and you're seeing that energy level, you're like, if we were at dinner and you were acting like this, I would leave. You know, so I think people don't understand like the level of energy that you have to come with is actually, it's hard. It's hard to like, and to maintain that for an hour. Like, honestly, when I listen to you and me, sometimes it puts me to sleep too. Like, it's got to be really high energy, and it's not an energy that you or I walk around with. And most people, there are a few people in life that walk around that way, but most of, like Rachel Miller is one. I feel like she walks around with that level of energy
all the time.
Yeah,
definitely.
But most, Scott Volker's another one. He walks around with that level of energy. Like, I'm like, I could never eat dinner with him at a family. Like, I'd be like, just calm down. But you know, you have to be like that when you're on video because it just, the video takes away so much from you.
Actually, you mentioned falling asleep. My wife occasionally listens to my podcast if she can't fall asleep. And it works like a charm.
It's because your voice is so soothing, Steve.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Yes. You've got that radio, that late night radio voice.
So how do you improve your presentation skills? Really, it's just a conscious effort into telling yourself to be high energy.
Yes.
Which kind of sucks.
It does. I also think you need to, like, and this is something too, where you, your very first webinar, just do it. Get it out there. Don't try to do all these things the very first webinar. Do as much as you can. But like, our stuff is better from the first day we did it. Your stuff is better from the first time you did it. So I think not only improve your presentation skills, improve your slides, right? Improve everything about the energy of the presentation. And a lot of times what we're presenting on is kind of boring. It's not like an exciting, you know, we're not trying to sell you a weight loss product. I actually woke up in the middle of the night the other night and there was a whatever Chuck Norris sells, like the Total Gym or something, was on. And it's like, it's compelling to watch people's pictures when they were like 385 pounds and they're on the Total Gym and now they're like 150, right? And they're like, you know, my life is so much better. And they're like on a ski boat. And like that's just compelling in itself. Like what we're talking about and what most people who are listening are going to talk about is not compelling like that. We're not Chuck Norris showing that like we're 75 and we have a hot wife and like we're still muscly. Right? Like that, it's just not, like I stayed up and watched this at like 4 a.m. because it was so compelling. And you know, I'm not buying this, like, but I was like, it's so, and then right after that, I must have been on like, I don't know what channel it was a guy selling silver coins, like the collectible, like half dollar or whatever. I don't know what it is, right? This guy talked for 30 minutes at an energy level that was unbelievable about a 50-cent piece. And I couldn't turn it off because I was like, I want to learn. Like, how do you talk about something that's so uninteresting for 30 minutes and still be excited?
I mean, here's a few things that I learned from YouTube and TikTok for as long as I've been doing it. If you can have just like motion in your video, that really helps. So, for example, instead of staying on like one slide for like 2 minutes,
yeah,
turn that one slide into like 20 slides.
Yeah.
I know that makes you go nuts, but like if you're constantly scrolling something by, yeah, then like that keeps people. Or if you, this is one thing I learned from my buddy Neville. You know what he does sometimes? He'll switch a slide and then he'll zoom into the picture, or he'll like press his face really close to the camera, or he'll like move his hand close to the camera,
yeah,
or something like that, just to break it out of the rhythm of just like a talking head on a webinar.
Well, I think that's yeah, I think that is important. And it's also one of the things that I think about, like we always are sitting when we do our webinars, mainly because we have to do slides. But I think standing versus sitting is another engagement point.
I need a standing desk to pull that
off. I was thinking this. I'm actually thinking about getting a standing desk, but.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good idea. Actually, I could probably do a full-on webinar with my YouTube setup standing up, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe that's worth trying.
Well, and I think too, so this is someone who's really good at like moving around in video is our friend Leslie Samuel. He does a lot of Facebook Lives. And I don't think I've ever seen a webinar by him, but just from how he interacts on video, he's always moving. Even when he's sitting,
yes,
his hands are moving, his body is just in constant motion, and you can't not watch it. Like you get drawn in.
Actually, I'm getting ideas just from talking about this, actually. Like if I could have a setup where I'm just constantly walking like I'm on stage.
Yeah.
And then have the slides kind of like.
Yeah. Well, you could just need a clicker. Really, you just need a clicker.
Yeah. On the side of the screen. I actually have a clicker.
Yeah.
I have all this. It's probably too late for me to. I have a webinar this afternoon, ironically.
You've got 4 hours to implement
to figure out the technology for this. Yeah. But you're right. That would make a much more compelling. It'd be like watching Steve Jobs on stage. I just compared myself to Steve Jobs.
I like that. You just drop that in there. It's nice.
But yeah, seeing someone just give a live presentation on stage as opposed to just sitting down would be very compelling.
Yeah, actually. And I agree with you. I know that I freak out when there's like 120 slides. But if the problem with that is what we've seen at Seller Summit is sometimes presenters come with 120 slides and each slide is still 2 minutes. That's the problem. But
yes.
Yeah, that's when I panic. But having slides, and I do this actually, the presentation I have today, I have a couple slides that are literally like boom, boom, you know, just examples. And so I think if you have slides that can move quickly, it forces people to pay attention because they don't want to miss what's on the slide. And that's also why I think it's important. Like we have a couple slides like this where we throw in like crazy photos. There's one where you're dressed like Doc. I want to say Doc McStuffins, but it's not. It's The Back to the Future.
Doc Brown, yes.
You can tell I have to have the Disney Channel on. But anyway, you throw in a couple surprising slides. And I do think that's where Ezra sometimes works. He throws in like a weird hippie photo, you know, and it's like, wait, oh, what? You know, or you throw in a slide with like a really impressive number or something like that. Like you throw in a couple like real, you know, surprise type slides. It's another thing. People don't want to miss that.
I'm going to try that for my next webinar. I'm not sure if I can pull it off, but basically all you really need is like a teleprompter so you can like be looking at the camera and see your slides still. So you have like a gauge. And then you need like a control box where you can switch this. It's starting to sound complicated now.
Yeah.
But Rode sells this box where you can just change the scenes by pushing a button, right?
Yeah.
So you can switch from just you to a slide, and then all you need is a clicker for the next slide. I found that I'm much more compelled to watch a presentation if it looks like it was recorded from a live conference.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just a webinar, actually.
Yeah.
Is that like that for you, too?
I don't know if there's a difference for me, but I don't think I've watched actually a lot of live presentations or like recorded from
like
a live.
Like when you get a virtual pass to a conference or something.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen one in a long time.
Okay. Yeah, because there haven't been conferences in 2 years.
And here's my last webinar thing that I wanted to cover just before you go on Amazon and buy all this stuff. And this is one thing that I actually wanted to talk to you about so we can talk about it on the podcast. I think we give out too much information in our presentations. And that's hard to say, right? Because I think one of our selling points is the fact that we do give out a lot of information. But I think what happens is people get overwhelmed with information. Yep. And I think sometimes the best webinars are the ones that actually are pretty simple and they literally are covering 3 points, right? Or 4 points. Like we're giving away, honestly, like 27 action items in some of our talks, which I think is valuable. And I think it shows that we have a deep knowledge of what we're talking about. But I also think if we're talking about keeping people engaged and keeping people on, like literally, I think about the email talk. We cover everything from like, where do you put the sign up forms, the best ways to convert on those sign up forms, what do you send them in the sign up forms, how do you send them, the frequency of the sequence, the how to create a lead magnet. That's all in one presentation. We could literally do one presentation on creating a lead magnet.
That's correct. And just make the whole workshop about email.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would agree with that.
So, yeah. And I think that's it kind of, I think the problem for us personally in that is it goes against sort of our philosophy of like really over delivering to people and just like, hey, like we want to give you as much information as possible for you to be successful. But then I also wonder if we keep people from being successful because they get overwhelmed with the amount of information.
Here's what I've come to learn just from polling the people in my other webinar.
Yeah.
If they believe that they can pull it off by the end, then that's a good webinar.
Yeah.
If they leave going, oh my God, I have to do all this stuff just to be successful, then that's not as effective of a webinar.
Yeah.
So you're right. I think if you keep it simpler, like over the years, I've kind of dumbed things down,
mm-hmm.
which really goes against like my ethos. But when people don't understand something and they get overwhelmed, they actually don't want to take any action anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's...
But it's a... Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like whenever I first took your profitable online store course and you said, hey, I want like as much feedback as possible, like be brutal, I can take it, whatever. And I think one of my first piece of feedback was like, I'm overwhelmed. There's so much information in here. I don't even know what to do next. And obviously I had a little bit of an advantage because I had a background in marketing and obviously we were friends, so I could ask you stuff. But you know, for most people, they don't have either of those things. So what you ended up doing is you kind of created like a quick start guide, right? For people to like, hey, do these things first, or here's how you get started. And I think that's really helpful because typically when people, and I actually, so I went and looked at countertops the other day for my kitchen, and you know, you're looking at like 75 pieces of quartz and granite and whatever. Well, by the end of it, I was like, I don't want to redo my kitchen. There's too many decisions. There's too many things. And I hear this people who build their own house, like get their house built from like the ground up, and they have to make a decision on every single thing from like what kind of cabinet pull do you want in your bathroom versus like what light switch covers do you want? People get this like analysis paralysis where they can't make any decisions and they feel unmotivated to do anything. And so I think by dumbing stuff down, you're making it easier for people to take that first step. And honestly, the biggest factor in being successful is being able to take that first step.
I'm always conflicted though, because there's all these little details that you need to think about as you. So, but then, you know, there's a fine line. Like if someone actually signs up to going, oh my God, you know, I thought it was just going to be this, this, and that. Now you're telling me I got to do this.
Yes.
Also, and worry about that. It's okay. I'll just end with this example. So I just recently recorded a TikTok with this guy who's a TikTok expert, kind of like walked me through his procedures. And I wrote a script and I brought it to him. And it was about how to start an online business. And I went through all these details, like these are the parameters that you need. And he was like, no, let's take all that out. You just need to just say, hey, you find this product. Why did you find this product? Oh, it's because you saw that it sold for this and you could get it for that. Done. And I'm like,
you're cringing.
He basically took all the details out and made it sound easy.
I'm laughing because like I can just picture you like just dying over that like simplicity level.
And I was like, I don't think I can put this out. And he's like, just do it. Just try it. And it ended up doing, it wasn't like my best video ever, but it ended up doing pretty almost 10,000 views, which is pretty good for like a regular TikTok video. Yeah. But then I got all these questions in the comments that overwhelmed me. Like, it can't be that easy. So I don't know if I'm going to use that exact strategy again, but I think you do have to dumb it down for the masses with caveats, I think.
So you're basically going to have a dumbed down presentation with 1,000 caveats.
I don't know what I'm going to do with all this information, but something's got to change to make it easier. But I think there's a fine line somewhere that you need to tiptoe across.
I think at the end of the day, when you're thinking about creating a webinar and doing this, you have to be able to give people one success point. So whatever that is, whatever that can be, you have to make sure that people walk away from the presentation feeling like they can do one thing that gives them that forward progress and makes them feel like a success.
I mean, here's what I've just discovered. So people will sign up. And then there's obviously more details than what you can cover in just like an hour. But by then they're so excited that they get started and they encounter these problems and they just have the motivation to push through them. And maybe that's like the primary motivation for all this. A lot of people, at least for what we teach, the hardest part is getting started. And then once you get started, it's just about going with the flow. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.